Library of the Living Dead, in association with Darker Projects, presents Zompod. Undead stories for the zombie apocalypse. Number 1, Grinning Salmon, by author David Dunwoody. Originally appearing in Permuter Press's The Undead Zombie Anthology. The air was musty and stale, choking Ryland with every ragged breath. Seated on a rickety old chair before a table coated with dust, he imagined he was in the waiting room of a mausoleum. He'd been here 2 hours. Seemed the Reaper was overbooked today. Before him yawned the mouth of a maze, a series of catacombs cut deep into the earth. A bitter cold whispered at him from the blackness, further constricting his lungs. In contrast was the warmth of the Klieg lights on his back. His long face was made longer in shadows cast sharply upon the table. On second thought, this seemed less a mausoleum than a television studio. Backlit like a late-night host, Ryland crossed one leg over the other and tapped his gold wristwatch and waited on his guest. Flanked by the Klieg lights at Ryland's rear, his audience sat, a huddled contingency wearing insect-like night-vision helmets, hugging their M4 carbines, which would punctuate his words like a laugh track if the guest wasn't being cooperative. The hush in the entrance of the catacombs was as palpable as the mold in the air. His men's breath, filtered through their helmets, was inaudible. Ryland coughed on a mote of dust. The sound cracked and echoed like a rifle report. Then the hush returned. The hush was anticipation. Something shifted in the catacombs. Ryland straightened up a bit, as a formality, although what was shuffling through the dirt towards the Klieg lights likely couldn't see him. Not because of the lighting, but because its eyes, Samuel's eyes, had long crumbled from their sockets. Still, Samuel always found his way to the table. Sometimes Samuel found his way to other things as well. He was attired in a soiled and worn shirt from the colonial era that had once been white, but was now a dingy brown. The same with his loose-fitting trousers. Samuel never requested new clothing. He probably only wore these threadbare threads out of habit. If they finally fell from his shoulders, revealing his emaciated husk of a frame, he'd likely not react. Everyone always noticed his hands first. Ryland's gunman heard the rusty creaking of Samuel's metal fingers, crude constructs tethered to his wrist with wire, fitted over what remained of his original appendages with an intricate system of antique clock parts housed within the palms. The mechanical hands flexed continuously as Samuel plodded along. Once interest in the fidgety hands had waned, there was nowhere else to look but his face. Brown flesh paper, so fragile thin, stretched over an angular skull. The holes where eyes and nose had once been to serve purposes, now fulfilled by other means. And the jaws, another mechanism, screwed into the bone and affixed with steel teeth. Ryland stared in wonder, imagining Samuel seated somewhere deep in the catacombs, working with his mechanical hands to build his razor blade smile. Grinning Samuel was his full moniker, Samuel not being his real name. No one knew what that was. He settled in a chair opposite from Ryland and placed a small burlap sack in front of him. He stared, eyeless, at the living. He was uncommonly picky, and any transaction came with certain rules of conduct. Some had been established from the get-go, while others were learned at great cost. Most important was the invisible line running down the middle of the table, separating Ryland from Samuel, a line of principle as effective as an electric fence. No one crossed that line. This cardinal rule had been established when Ryland's predecessor had reached out to grab that little burlap sack. In the ensuing melee, all the gunmen had swarmed past the now screaming and bleeding liaison with every intention of dismembering Samuel, and he'd killed every single one of them. Every one. The liaison had watched and died as blood jetted from the stump of his wrist. Watched and died while the blind, smiling Samuel had stuffed the gunman's remains into his stainless steel maw. He didn't feed often, yet he still thrived down here. In these catacombs beneath a defunct Protestant parish, a walking testament to the potency of the earth around him, the earth contained in that burlap sack. Opening a briefcase, Ryland turned it towards Samuel. This was the transaction. He slid the case to the center of the table, just shy of that invisible line, and the zombie's mechanical fingers rummaged through its contents. Watch gears, springs, miniature coils, and screws. Although, whatever it was that infused this accursed earth had kept Samuel from rotting away entirely, he still needed to maintain his most used joints, his limbs, his appendages, those terrible jaws. They creaked as he fingered a brass cog. Seemed like it would be so easy right now to snatch the burlap purse with its pound of dirt and to riddle Samuel with bullets, throwing the table in his face, cutting him to ribbons with automatic fire, to finally storm the catacombs. Ryland felt his own fingers jumping anxiously in his lap, but he forced himself to picture his predecessor dying on the earthen floor beside this very chair, dying on his back in a shitty paste of dirt and blood. Ryland was jarred back to reality as Samuel pushed the sack across the table. His sightless, metallic jack-o'-lantern visage turned slowly from side to side, as if surveying the firing squad flanked by Kleeglites. Ryland, never certain whether the afterdead could still hear, mumbled thanks and took the sack. For the first time, he addressed his team. "Fall back!" They did, except for Goldhammer, who came forward with a hazmat container the size of a lunchbox. Samuel sat quietly as Ryland took a handful of the soil from the sack and, like a drug buyer testing the product, sprinkled the dirt over the dark mass in the container. "What's his name?" he asked Goldhammer, who replied through his bug helmet, "Pancake." Ryland smiled wryly and stroked the ball of black fur. Now, he felt a rhythmic movement beneath his fingertips. The kitten shuddered, shifted. It was in an advanced state of decay and had been broken beyond repair by a parade of freeway traffic. So there was little for it to do now but purr. "Dirt's good," Goldhammer called back to the others. Another container was brought forth to receive the sack's contents. Ryland closed the hazmat lunchbox over the cat. It muttered weakly with dead vocal cords. He smiled again. The sack was returned to the table beside the briefcase, both for Samuel to keep. Taking one in each metal fist, the zombie stood up. The lunchbox jerked in Ryland's hands, and even before the black blur flew past his face and down the tunnel, he knew, even as his legs pumped against his will, sending him past the table and over that invisible line in futile pursuit, he knew. Goddamn crippled cat! A clutch of mechanical fingers took root in the center of Ryland's chest. Pulled off his feet by grinning Samuel and out of reality by the numbing terror in his veins, Ryland heard dimly the patter of bullets against Samuel's back. Goldhammer, like a double-jointed ballet dancer, pirouetted off the table and drove a boot into the afterdead's defunct groin. While his legs jackknifed through the air, he planted his M4 against Samuel's temple and got off a good quarter-second burst of fire before the zombie punched through his body armor and yanked out a streaming handful of guts. A spurting, sloppy mess that cushioned the soldier's fall immediately followed. Ryland had been thrown clear of the battle and had crashed into the dirt, having been tossed deeper into the catacombs. He saw Samuel as a hulking silhouette against the lights, swaying under a barrage of gunfire. Ryland felt bullets zipping overhead and pressed his face into the earth, tasting that accursed dirt for which Goldhammer had just died. Died. Christ. The government had accumulated a half ton of soil from the parish over the past 3 decades and had been burying bodies in it, clocking their resurrection and administering tests of strength, endurance, and aptitude. What little intelligence Samuel exhibited was rare in afterdead. Except those who stayed near their source, of course. They usually came up sputtering the last of their blood and bile and clamoring for the nearest warm body, abandoning all higher facilities in the lust for living flesh. Indeed, such was the case with Sergeant Goldhammer, who sat up beside the besieged Sandal and fixed his bug-like gaze on Ryland. His exposed viscera was caked with soil, his back to the other men, but surely they realized what he'd become. Goldhammer made a wet noise inside his helmet. Ryland heard it over the gunfire. Pawing through his own innards, the dead soldier came at his former commander. Former as of 30 seconds ago. Yes, he was fresh undead, and there was still some basic military protocol embedded in that brain of his, wasn't there? So Ryland threw his hand out, wrist broken, and screamed, "Stop!" Goldhammer did, crouching on all fours, with a rope of intestine dragging between his legs. He cocked his head and was the perfect picture of a sick dog. He was trying to recognize the word and why it had halted him in his tracks. Ryland could see the gears turning, like the gears in Grinning Samuel's jaw. And at that moment, Samuel ripped into the firing squad. The hail of bullets was reduced to a drizzle. Goldhammer pounced. Ryland pivoted on his broken wrist with a blinding snap of pain and caught his aggressor with a boot heel between the glassy bug eyes. Goldhammer grunted and batted the leg aside. They wrestled there on the ground, with Ryland kicking himself farther and farther down the tunnel, all the while aware that Samuel would soon be finished with the others. Backpedaling on his hands and hindquarters, he disturbed a pile of pebbles. No, gears. The strewn contents of the briefcase. Ryland closed his good hand around a fistful of them, and, with a half-hearted cry, he hurled them into Goldhammer's face. Relatively pointless, but still an amusing precursor to Samuel's hand sweeping down like a wrecking ball and crushing Goldhammer's skull against the wall. The soldier crumpled to clear a path for the grinning afterdeath. Samuel's steel maw was painted with liquid rust from the insides of Ryland's men. The zombie knew right where his prey was, and Ryland's situation hit rock bottom as the damaged Klieg lights faded out. "Stop!" he shrieked. "Stop!" He now knew for certain that Samuel could still hear by the way that his pace quickened. A barely discernible silhouette in the faint remnants of light, Grinning Samuel's grasping fingers squealed as he drew closer. Ryland's back struck a wall. He waited for those fingers to find his heart. His broken wrist was jerked into the air. He screamed, imagining that his entire arm had been ripped off. But it hadn't been. Samuel wasn't even moving now. With his breath caught in his throat, Ryland just sat and listened in the dark. And then he heard it. His wrist twisted a little. He bit into his lip while Samuel traced the band of his gold wristwatch. The pair remained motionless in the shadows for what seemed like an eternity. But Ryland counted the ticks and talks and knew it was less than a minute. Finally, in spite of both terror and logic, he stammered, "It's a Rolex." The watch left his wrist and his intact arm dropped into his moist lap. Samuel could be heard shuffling off into the catacombs, down beneath the parish churchyard where the mystery of his unlife dwelled. Tick-tock, tick-tock, gradually ceased. Ryland sucked icy air into his lungs and sat there for what really did seem like an eternity. There were a few dull spots of light down the tunnel. There, he'd have to confront the remains of his slaughtered team, but Samuel would have done quite a number on them, and none would be getting back up. He pushed his ankles through the dirt until the circulation returned to them. He tried to stand. He was still a bit shaky, wrists throbbing like mad. God damn! It was getting colder by the second. He took another breath, sat back down, and listened to the silence. Then he heard something new. Ryland smiled again and reached a blind hand into the darkness. The preceding story, Grinning Samuel, was written by author David Dunwoody, read by Dr. Puss, post-production by Dr. Puss. 4, Library of the Living Dead, in association with Darker Projects. This has been Zompod, episode number 1.